There's just something about Tom Goss's music that puts you in a great mood. Our favorite wrestler turned priest turned musician, the very lovable Tom Goss, is back with his new album, Back to Love. The question is, why did he ever leave it?
Tom plays songs from his new album for us and answers your questions through Facebook. Does Tom approach playing his guitar like a wrestler prepares for a wrestling match?
What are his thoughts on the Vatican as a seminarian?
And did it turn him on a little bit to wear those wrestling singlets? Find out what he said.
A tofu-inspired license plate gets yanked for being obscene.
The $2,000 chocolate Easter egg with the $1,800 gold coin.
A very special gift from a listener in Spain, pooping nativity figurines in the shape of Obama and the Pope.
And the plotline from the campy 80s film 9 to 5, where the disgruntled employees kidnap their boss to get revenge, is all the rage in France.
I'm Fausto Fernos.
I'm Mark Villian.
And this is Feast of Fun. Today's show is brought to you by generous support of fabulous listeners like you.
We really can't do the show without your support, so please visit our website, feastoffun.com, and make a donation. Buy a t-shirt.
Your financial support makes all the difference. Thank you. So the fabulous Tom Goss, wrestler turned preacher turned musician, is on today's show. He's back in Chicago and back with his new album, Back to Love. Hi, Tom.
Hey, how's it going?
You gotta stop playing because we're talking about you
now. We have to talk now.
Because it is a talk show.
Okay, sorry about that.
Welcome to the show, Tom.
Thanks for having me.
Welcome to the Feast of Fun.
Yes, the Feast of Fun.
It's the first time you've ever been on the Feast of Fun.
That is true.
Mark, what is up with those sunglasses? You look like Tom Cruise, like, came out of a homeless shelter
or something. It's bright in this room. We're in the sunroom. It's very bright, and you guys know I have, what do I have?
You have your celebrity itis.
I have conjunctivitis, so it's like I'm putting this medicine in my eye, and it makes me very sensitive.
It makes you look very cool, though.
Yeah,
I think so.
Like, well, plus two, if I fall asleep, you guys won't even know.
We'll hear it though.
Although I do snore.
I got my eyes dilated for the first time like a month ago.
Really?
And I was walking around like I know I shouldn't put my hand over my eyes in front of the microphone, but I couldn't see.
Can't hear you.
That happened. I know, exactly.
The first time in your life?
Even yeah, I've never done that before.
Really?
Yeah.
That happened. They did that to me as a kid, and I had to walk from the office all the way to my school once, and it's like a mile in like the bright afternoon sun.
Yeah,
and
that
I was
just
like, oh!
And of course, I immediately got into my car and drove home very, very, very slowly.
Because you're like, it hurts.
So let me explain to people what's happening here. Tom Goss, you're back in Chicago with your new album, Back to Love.
Yep.
And he's taking your questions through Facebook, and you're playing songs from your new album, too.
Yeah, exactly.
So, like, what are you going to do for us today? I want to be entertained, man.
It's Friday.
I want it
it's
hot.
Good Friday.
It's Good Friday. Well, every Friday with Tom Goss is good.
That's true.
You know what I'm saying. I brought my tambourine. What song can I sing with you?
None of them.
Okay.
You don't need any backup players?
No.
I have my maraca.
Hold on a second. Don't start yet. I'm still trying to clear my throat.
Okay.
Look, I'm afraid I don't have much voice left, Tom.
Okay.
So you'll just have to sing the song on your own.
Oh, please no.
What are you going to sing for us?
I'm going to sing a song called Tumbling Down the Mountainside.
Tumbling Down the Mountainside. It has nothing to do with Jesus or anything like that. Everything you do has to do with Jesus, doesn't it?
It has something to do with, I guess, religion. The last verse has stuff to do with religion.
Okay, well, I'm gonna pull out my camera here and turn it on. Let me do the introduction here.
Let's face it, religion is part of my past.
Hold on a second. So that one was the time. I'm turning on the camera here. God, this thing takes forever. Why is my camera not working?
Slowly,
oh, here we go.
Tom, slowly.
I said, let's face it.
Hold on a second. So I'm
God
here with Tom. Okay, what?
I was saying that religion is part of my past, and its spirituality is a part of who I am, so.
That's really nice to hear. So what are you going to play for us from your new album, Back to Love?
Tumbling Down the Mountainside.
Okay, let's hear it.
tumbling down the mountainside, now I'm tumbling through it all. When I've reached the bottom, dust me off, I'll be ready for another fall. Picturesque as it may seem, it's not what you see that's truth. It's what lies behind draws humankind that brings me to you. And I won't walk it long. Let you take me home. Through suburban jungles, find exactly what you need. And with a plastic soul and Chinese soul, they're close for security. Rain, it falls on bitter heads, but the sun shines for us all. And as the clouds come rolling quickly, we're all reaching for control. And I won't walk it long. Let you take me home. Yeah, yeah. Sister says it's not your fault, but the priest sees differently. So you hang your head, you fall apart, we all choose what to believe. Why is it we're holding on, fear of our mortality? Can't we make the best of what we've got? Can I make the best of me? And I won't walk it long. Let you take me home. And I won't walk it long.
That is Tom Goss. Excuse me. Tom Goss. Woo woo. You can watch the video on our website, feastoffun.com, or on our YouTube channel, Feast of Fun. Why am I having a hard time?
I don't know.
Oh. There we go. Tom Goss, y'all. Woo! You can check out that video on our YouTube channel, Feast of Fun, or our Vimeo channel, which you actually get a higher quality. It's not
what
like you're slumming
Vimeo?
Vimeo's like YouTube, but for people who care about video.
Oh. Like the quality of it and how it looks and things like
so,
that.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
It's really nice.
So the 12-year-old hitting himself in the balls is not concerned about
Vimeo. Well, it might be on Vimeo.
It all gets on it, but it's like Vimeo's like a higher quality YouTube.
Gotcha.
Is I say. It's sort of like the it's the Budweiser of video.
the
Budweiser
video,
like, is the champagne of beers.
So it's the...
That's
Budweiser
right.
Is that really
champagne.
What they say?
That's what they say on the bottle. I don't necessarily
it says
agree with that.
The champagne of beer?
The
no,
champagne?
That's Miller.
Is it?
Yeah, it's Miller's.
Okay, so then Vimeo
is
the Miller.
King of beers.
Okay, well then, whatever. It's a higher quality.
It's your quality. Now, Tom, are you on tour?
Yeah, I am.
Where are you going? What's your stops? What do you got coming up?
Well, the next week I've got, I'm in Kenosha, Wisconsin tonight, and Chicago tomorrow, Milwaukee.
Well, it's actually, because this is going to be Friday's show, so Chicago tonight at the Elbow Room, right?
Chicago tonight at the Elbow Room.
Elbow Room!
Yeah.
As an elbow macaroni?
Exactly.
It's delicious!
Yeah, there's no W.
and are you going to be wearing, I've noticed that when you tour, and you wear the Feast of Fools, not the Feast of Fun yet, t-shirt, especially the Michelle Obama one, that people take photos of you on stage and they email it to us.
As they should.
And there was a listener that did that from what?
New York City, there was something, yeah.
There was from New York City, and he sent it to us and was like really cool and very awesome. And I really appreciate that.
And you wear it well. It looks really good
Thank
on you.
Thank you.
It looks better
it.
On you than on me.
So
I doubt that.
Chicago tonight, where else are you going?
Milwaukee, Minneapolis, Omaha, Des Moines.
Wow, so you're doing the Midwest, huh?
Kansas City. Yeah, I love the Midwest. People have been yelling at me for not being in the Midwest, and I'm always.
And
like,
you're a Kenosha guy.
Yeah, yeah.
So why wouldn't you want to be in the Midwest?
Exactly, I love the Midwest.
So your album, let's talk about Back to Love. Why that title? Because you were away from love. So you're returning to loving people?
No, I don't.
Instead of hating them?
Yeah, so I was doing really malicious things for... No, I'm just kidding. No, I mean...
I got tired of beating them up in the face.
Exactly. You know, I just started to realize that all the songs that were on this album that, you know, as the album progressed were about love. And not necessarily it was romantic love, but, you know, familial love and love between friends and sometimes loss of love. And so one of the songs, a song called Back to Arkansas, the last line is Back to Arkansas, Back to Love. And I just thought that kind of summed it up. It doesn't necessarily mean that I need to get back to love, of course. You know, I do need to focus on that when I make decisions about what I'm going to do with my life.
Because the alternate title you were considering was Black to Love, which wasn't so, it was sort of awkward.
Yeah, it was hard. You know, I was coming up with a series of tongue twisters and it just wasn't working.
Tom Goss, so you're in love, though.
I am madly, madly in love.
You are. Uh-oh. Don't tell the fans.
I tell everybody.
They're gonna get jealous.
I can't. You know what? I think if you know anything about me and my music, it's impossible to not know that. So yeah.
Were you considering other titles? Because musicians always go through a lot of considerations, you know, for albums.
You know, when I wrote Rise, it was like, wow.
Because it's about getting a hard on.
Obvious. Yeah. That's obviously the album title. But this one was hard. Like, I didn't know what the album title and then. You know, once I thought of Back to Love, there was really nothing else that made sense to me. I'm really, really like that title.
Now, you wrote all these songs right after you were done recording Rise. You left the studio and you were like so Jones and stoked.
You know, kind of. As far as...
That's what I read in the interview that you did with a gay magazine or something like that.
Yeah. Well, that's not entirely accurate. Yeah. I mean, yes, it's true. It's true that.
So you lied to them.
Yeah, I lie a lot.
So would you like to apologize to them, or are you telling the truth now?
What happened, Tom? What's the story?
I mean, I think the idea of how I was writing came to be right after I did Rise, and the guys that I recorded Rise with were Beatles freaks and pop freaks in that sense, and I was, you know. I was the same way. I'm like, yeah, this is great. This is what I want to do. So songs like 40 Years, like the real poppy songs on my album, like 40 Years and Take Me On, were written immediately after the studio. And I had like 10 to 15 songs that I was going to go into the studio with. And I told myself in the fall that I should, you know, actually make some time to write. So I spent about a month writing and wrote another 10, 15 songs. And
you wrote 10 to 15 songs in a month?
Yeah.
That's a lot of writing.
I write pretty quickly.
Really? Can you make a song like right now on the spot?
Don't put him on the spot.
Just write a song like I love Fausto. I think Elton John. I love Mark.
Elton John spends like a half an hour writing a song.
Only half an hour?
Yeah, it's like a half an hour.
Really?
Yeah. No, I bet you my songs. If I don't write the song in 20 minutes or a half hour, then the song's gone. Like, because for me, it's a very specific emotional snapshot, and so I don't go back to songs and rewrite them. I have a lot of half-written songs that never finished, and, you know, they're gone.
So you never ever go back to them?
In my entire history of writing, the only song I ever went back to was Morning Sun, which is on Rise, which is the first track off Rise.
So what point in the process, in the 30 minutes that you take to write a song, well, that's Elton John, do you pull out the rhyming dictionary?
I don't use a rhyming dictionary. I mean,
are you the kind of songwriter who's like going, you know, mountainside, I was really high, and we're gonna fly, and you know, I mean, are you always conscious about trying to find words that rhyme?
Well, if we listen to Tumbling Down the Mountainside, you'll notice that it's tumbling down the mountainside, tumble through it all. When you reach the bottom, dust be off already for another fall. So I guess there's two words that rhyme in it. You know, I don't know how I write. I seriously would just look at that riff and be like,
"Would you say?"
And then it would just come.
The spirit
just
takes
out of my
you.
House.
The yeah. spirit takes
whatever
you.
Comes out of my mouth. I write on a piece of paper, and you didn't even know. Like when I was writing Back to Arkansas, I was just messing with this riff, and then all of a sudden I went. Fly to Arkansas. And I was like, I didn't sing it right, but
well, actually, you're gonna play that song for us, right?
Well, we were gonna play the recording, but I can play it for you if you want.
Well, whatever, let's play the recording. Let's actually hear the studio,
the album,
the pristine quality,
because the album's available now, right?
Yep, most definitely.
It's on iTunes, kids. Go get it right now before they take it off. It won't, because you actually have to pay every year for an album to be up on iTunes. Did you know that?
You do?
Well, you know, yeah. No. Yeah. It's not like once you submit it, then
maybe
it's there
you
for,
do.
How much do your songs cost? Because now that they changed the price structure, some songs are 69 cents, some are 99, some are $1.29. So.
Really?
Yeah. They changed the price structure.
Well, Tom's are probably 99 cents.
I'm guessing.
You're kind of like the porridge that Goldilocks like to choose.
Well, it's like, well, everybody's, they're changing everything as far as how you buy songs. And Prince is putting out, what, a 3-disc album for like
$10 million.
He is.
I'm like, you asshole.
I'm so over Prince. I'm over him.
Yeah, he's also a gay hater, too. Let's listen to Back to Arkansas here.
In wandering trains, roll down the track. His tired feet, they ache and crack. Fly to Arkansas to see your face. Back to Arkansas, call it grace. In many queens, they sing a tune of kingdoms lost for me and you. And though the sun had faced to the west, still my heart it lays in your chest. So lay me
talking to musician Tom Goss. He has a brand new album, Back to Love. He is in the home studio here in Chicago, taking your questions through Facebook. Mark, what is that box you have there?
We got a box from Felix in Spain, because at Christmas time we were talking about the caganeers.
What's a caganeer?
I'll have you open this one.
Okay.
And you can look at that. And so these are things that you put in your nativity scene in Spain. I guess it's part of a... It's kind of like a symbol of fertility.
And this is Barack Obama taking a poop.
That's Barack Obama taking a poop.
Yes,
and this is the Pope.
That's the Pope. What's he doing, Tom?
He's pooping. Excrement is coming out of his rectum.
Can I open it? Can I actually touch it?
He's pooping. Yeah, you can touch the feces. Touch it. So this is from Felix, who's a listener in Barcelona. Thank you very much, Felix.
Gracias, Felix.
Muchas gracias. Felix. He also says, by the way, the invitation to visit Barcelona will always be open. Believe me, I'd love to come.
Barcelona's can the San Francisco of Spain.
Yeah, you can come. We'll go together. Great.
We'll have to share our bed together, though.
That's fine, as long as we have to sleep naked.
So it's the caganeer. It says, literally translated from Catalan, it means the great shitter or the merry fertilizer. And so they would put it in the creche, and so it was a symbol that would bring good luck and happiness for the year. And if you didn't put one in, it would be like misfortune. So, yeah, here's one.
So if someone wasn't shitting on Jesus?
Well, you put them...
You're shitting the field, fertilizing.
It's kind of like the Where's Waldo, though. So you kind of put it in there, so you... like, oh, where is it? And so, and usually it's like, of some kind of political figure or somebody like that. So, and it kind of takes the piss out of them or takes the shit out of them. So, I don't know, you can accept them.
Well, so is it supposed to ridicule the political figure?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
So they're ridiculing Obama, even though their politics are pretty much the same?
Well, yeah, but it's like any political leader and stuff like that. And look at his fine booty. His ass is so much nicer than the Pope's ass.
Well, because they do like Obama.
They do like Obama.
So Tom Goss is taking...
And he's not shitting as much as the Pope either.
Okay, you don't play with Obama's poop?
Are we? Yes.
So Tom's taking questions from you guys through Facebook. Mike Gonzalez wants to know, did you like wearing the singlets when you were a wrestler?
Did I like them? I mean,
did they make you feel sexy and alive?
They made me feel like I was about to go wrestle.
Okay.
Well, you're one of those rare gay men that actually don't find wrestling a turn on.
Well, I mean, I think you must have enjoyed it.
Were a wrestler.
Yeah. You know, it's funny. I have the singlet I used to wear because I've got really big legs and
I know.
And the singlets always ride up on your thighs. And I found this singlet that is essentially like a Speedo with like mm-hmm. little straps. And I used to wear that to all the tournament. So
did anyone ever wear like one of those Borat swimsuits, you know?
I never saw that.
Did you ever see Borat? It's like a bikini, but instead of going to the hips, it goes to your shoulders.
Oh,
and it covers your nipples, but you know.
No, it's really ridiculous looking. Everybody pretty much wears this regular singlet.
Cray Robert. Tom, do you think the Vatican should sign the UN Declaration on the decriminalization of homosexuality? That's a weird question because I think they're actually wanting to criminalize it more.
Yeah, you know what? I'm not familiar with what he's talking about, but I think that, you know, obviously homosexuality should be decriminalized if that's what he's talking about.
Because otherwise you'd be in jail.
Yeah. I'm not familiar with this particular instance, so I can't speak on it.
Do you think the Catholic Church matters as a player on the world stage?
Most definitely.
And in what way do they matter?
I mean, when you've got a lot of people following a specific doctrine, then that's going to matter. And if especially when you talk about the people who vote because they are pro-life and that's all they really care about, when you have one issue voters, then something like the Catholic Church in the pro-choice, the pro-life, the defend your country, you know, national security, anything like that. Like, so the Catholic Church is obviously pro-life, and especially conservative Catholics vote based on that issue.
Well, period. I think it's kind of weird, though, sometimes that Catholic churches spend so much time and energy fighting. You know, their argument is that we want to stop abortions because we believe in the sanctity of this unborn, unfertilized, undeveloped fetus. Yet they don't spend a lot of time and energy trying to stop the death penalty, for example.
Well, I mean, so that's obviously hypocrisy, and that's the Republican Party, the conservative message in general.
There are people who do it, but yes. Like, as an institution, they spend a lot of time. You know, Pope Benedict spends a lot of time telling people not to use condoms, mm-hmm. but you don't as often hear him say, stop the death penalty.
No, I think you're absolutely right. And the sanctity of life is a sanctity of life, whether it's the life of an unborn or life.
It's those hot button issues that they use to control people. Like you said, it's that one person, you know, that one issue voters, and it's how they sway them and keep them under control.
But it's always people who don't have sex, who don't have kids, telling other people how to run their kids, how to have sex. You know, it's like, it's crazy. Okay, Ty Curtis wants to know what's next in your career, in your hopscotch career, because you went from being a wrestler to becoming a priest to becoming a musician.
Is that what he means?
Yeah.
Yeah. Does he have that in parentheses?
Well, I
you're just assuming?
He knows about you.
Okay.
And you do have a bit of a hopscotch career. You know, you've, as I like to say for myself, is that you've lived many lives in a short amount of time.
Right now I'm doing this, and people keep asking me what's next, and I really want to focus on this CD, which dropped 2 days ago, mind you.
Oh, that's very West Coast. Dropped it.
So I mean, you know, I mean, I'm in the middle of a 2 month national tour, and I really need to focus on what I'm doing now so I can enjoy what I'm doing right now.
So you're doing a Midwest tour. You're going to tour West Coast or East Coast too?
Mm-hmm.
Both.
Mm-hmm.
So you're going to hit all the major spots.
I did the East Coast already.
Okay.
I'm coming from the East Coast, and now I'm going to head out to the West Coast and then hit the South.
Because you were just in my hometown of Erie, Pennsylvania.
I know. I love Erie.
Shout out to Erie.
How was that?
I love Erie. I'm gonna go visit in a couple months. I called Mike, who's my partner, immediately after I left the show. I was like, we're going to Erie in the summertime.
You gotta go in the summertime and hang out at the beach.
There's a roller coaster that goes over the highway. That's all I want to do. I want to get on that roller coaster. I want to go over the highway.
It looks a little scary. I don't like it being roller coasters that go upside down.
It's wooden. It's not an upside down one.
Oh well, then
so you're coming with me?
I'll totally do it.
Okay,
with you.
Cool. Well, and, so we'll go to Erie, then Barcelona.
See, oh, yes, we'll fly right from
the
Erie
listeners
to Barcelona.
Are giggling because of what I just said.
Why?
I said I'll totally do it with you, Tom.
Oh,
hey, double entendres. That's what the show's all about. Ben Consoli of Violet Nine. Is there any comparisons between performing? Everybody wants to know about your wrestling. Between performing music and wrestling, do you approach performing in front of an audience like an Erie in similar ways that you approach a wrestling match?
You know, the
do you like beat yourself up and say, I'm not good enough?
It's funny. I'm pretty tame in general. And so, you know, especially when I have later shows, I'm falling asleep before my show. And that's
really?
About the only time I'll have to like go in the bathroom and jump up and down and try to like not fall asleep.
Because what time do you go to bed usually?
In general?
Yeah.
Oh, 11.
Okay.
You were thinking, you were expecting like 8 p.m.
We know people go to bed. I'm
in bed laying, like playing Scrabble or like cuddling with Mike by like 9:30 usually.
Okay.
Mike's a lucky man, I gotta say for him.
Well, yeah. Have you tried cocaine or other types of methamphetamines and stuff like that to stay awake?
Like Elvis did.
As far as the preparation, I mean, I'm a very hard worker, and I think that I was good at wrestling because I worked really hard. And I think, in general, I work very hard at what I do musically. So in that regard, it's the same. It's a lot of preparation and a lot of just working really hard. So
you like
really
to
hard.
Work really,
would
really
you stop?
Hard. Really hard.
Hey, you know, it's like, I find my ways to make.
I keep giving them to you, so you might as well.
He likes to work it hard. Okay, so you were taping till the end. A lot of people think that you spent millions of dollars on your music video, but you're like sort of representing the new generation of musicians that takes the matters of the means of production into their own hands. You've learned how to edit video. You have a Final Cut Pro on your computer.
I do.
And you shot all this and edited it. Where did the whole concept of the video come from anyways?
Well, Mike and I and my director, Aaron Hinson, were just sitting around. We knew we wanted to get a video out before the release dropped. And so we were just sitting around and we came up with this idea. And, you know, it was probably January 20th when we came up with this idea, shot it on the 25th and had it out by the 14th. It was really kind of a whirlwind.
Well, who came up with the whole orgy concept of it?
Well, because let's just describe the video to people who haven't seen it. So it starts with you on your bed or on a
cosmic bed.
And you're sitting on then playing, and then next we get a cutaway of a couple. It's a straight couple kissing, right?
It's essentially a video showing real couples in real moments, being intimate with each other. Intimate in a very G-rated sense. So the idea behind the video is that, you know, you're laying in bed on a Sunday morning with the person that you love. And so we just wanted to show that. We wanted to show a bunch of people doing exactly that. And frankly, I was amazed at how open and genuine people were with the video and with you know, we stuck a bunch of lights in front of their face and two cameras and told them to act
naturally.
Were these
actors or these were real couples?
No, these are real couples.
So everybody you see in there was a real couple.
Over 162 years of being together.
Oh.
See, because I'm looking at here, it starts off with this Hispanic guy and a white chick. And he looks like...
And he's paying her money.
He's paying her... Well, the thing about it is, I guess it feels like you're going to have like a three-way with these couples or something, because it's like you cut back and forth from the couples to you.
You know
to
what?
Couples
you know
to
what?
You.
Also, I've probably had like hundreds of conversations with people out of this video, and you're the second person that has said that.
I don't think I'm
alone. I think that speaks more
because you can actually read the comments on YouTube of people saying,
what
it's like, "What's going to happen?" It's like, what's going to happen when the lights
well,
go
you're
off,
like
Tom?
He's like Cupid in there.
You're kind of the Cupid, yeah. And I like it when you get into the three-way with the black lesbians here. African-American lesbians here. See? And they're hugging each other.
But I'm not in that shot.
Well, you could like...
only two people in the shot.
You could totally re-edit this video, though.
So you keep saying these three ways, and there's very rare when there's three people
but
in
see,
a shot.
But see, the thing is that it takes place in the same location, and so when we see cutaways of you playing the guitar, it's like, well, somebody... Honey, we gotta go
is
to bed. Will you tell this musician to stop playing and get out of here?
Your bed?
That's a friend of mine. He runs a bed and breakfast called Artists in Residence in Washington, D.C., and it's... one of the most amazing places I've ever seen in my life.
And which room is
that?
Oh,
see, now look at this. See, look at this transition. Do you see it?
Let me see.
The two lesbians, and then you're in the center with them.
Yep, there you go.
Yeah.
So see? If I wanted to, I...
No, there's a couple shots. There's a couple shots.
So a listener could actually book this room. Which room is this?
See, look, you're totally having a three-way with the
Mozart
lesbians.
Room, maybe? I'm
the
not
Mozart
sure.
Mozart room? So they can go and they can bring their intimate partner there and have their intimate details.
Okay,
and
this is 2 minutes and 25 seconds into the video. Tom gets a three-way.
I hate Tom.
Yay!
Thank you.
Tom Goss.
No, there was one upset comment about how come... there was a comment on there about that I'm a homophobe because the only time that I was in between the two people was where we were lesbians.
Well, because your boyfriend's so very jealous.
I'm like a secret straight homophobe guy. I thought that was
so
a strange
comment. So how true is that?
Comment. I took a lot of shots, and those were the ones that worked out the best. Okay. Those are the ones we edited in. So,
because the one with the gay guys, they couldn't help themselves, and
no, I tried to put. I did. There was one really nice shot, but it got edited like the very, very last minute.
Did you have any old people in here? I'm trying to look.
They totally had old people in there, but we're not gonna like say who was the old.
I already said
there was enough a baby. Oh, look how cute that baby is.
That's true.
The video has a baby. How can you not like this video?
How can you not like it exactly?
As a baby. Now and then. See, if I was trying to sleep and you're sitting on my bed, I love you, Tom, but I would kick you out.
Okay.
Or I'd ask you to come in the bed.
What? Like, well, I'm already in the bed.
No, because you're sitting. Look at this shot here. You're sitting there on the edge of the bed. And
you don't have to keep showing me the video. I made it.
I know what it was. You're acting as if you don't remember it, though.
I remember. I could tell you every single shot in that video.
And so the shot of you sitting on the edge of the bed, and there's a gay couple trying to sleep, and you
and you keep playing that music.
Wonderful.
It's 4 o'clock in the morning already. Can we just go to sleep?
And it says, Pedro, would you please turn off the stereo? I'm trying to go to sleep. He's like, that's not us. That's not the radio. That's Tom Goss. He's in our house. What? What world is this? I like this. This is the thing about recording music videos is that they always have this sort of like surreal Twilight Zone quality to them, you know? Like, you're such a fan. In this episode of The Twilight Zone, Tom Goss would not leave their bedroom. They got what they prayed for.
Exactly, yeah. So, yeah.
So, good for you.
Is that the only video you've done for the album?
Yes, thus far.
Are you planning on other videos? Can I be in your video?
Do you want to be in my video?
I totally want to. Okay, this is the video I want. Is that it starts off with a wrestling match. And then we become priests, and then we're dancing in the fields like blind melon.
I already did that video.
I want to do like a blind melon takeoff.
This is the exact same video as I did for my first.
You
first
did?
One.
I didn't see that.
Did you see Rise?
I didn't notice that you were in a wrestling thing. I didn't see that. No.
So what are you just trying to take my ideas and pawn them off as your own?
How about we do this?
I don't think I ever saw that video. I don't think that video exists.
Oh God.
It's on Buena Vista or what is it? Sean Cody. No, but what it would be kind of fun is if we recreate Blind Melon's No Rain.
I never saw the video.
With a bee girl.
Oh, yeah.
We got some kid who looks weird, put him on a costume, and they're trying to get auditioned, and they're finally accepted by you.
Yeah.
At the end of the video.
That's
or how
nice.
About this for
That's
a concept? You're performing in front of an audience, and the audience is really grouchy and not into it, but then they start listening to your music, and they start grooving, and at the end, they're all clapping and dancing.
Yeah. Did you not see my first video? Go watch my first video.
How do you find it?
On YouTube.
Just go to YouTube. It's on my YouTube page.
Oh.
Okay.
YouTube.com/
It was
Tom
on
Goss.
Logo forever.
Tom Goss Music it is.
Tom Goss Music.
Yeah, everything's Tom Goss Music.
Yeah, that's like the
was
television.
Was Tom Goss taken?
Was
Tom Goss taken?
No, TomGoss.com was taken.
Oh.
But then it just got to be a branding issue, so I just named everything Tom Goss Music.
Okay.
I don't see any wrestling in Rise. I see you dressed up as a businessman walking around the city. I saw this video. You're hustling, bustling in Washington, D.C., and then it cuts away to your...
Are you fast-forwarding really quick through the whole thing?
I don't see you anywhere in a wrestling singlet.
Okay, well, you're way too... It's at the beginning.
Oh, that's nice.
Trust me.
I
made the video. I made the video. You've never seen it?
Oh, there you are. Ooh.
Why would I see the video when I have the real thing right here in front of me?
And I'm in a singlet right now.
That's hot, though. You know what's funny about the video is that you're being haunted by this hot guy, and the hot guy is you.
Twilight Zone.
It's videos. A Twilight Zone. It's like, so we're talking to musician Tom Goss. His new album, Back to Love, is a whole lot of loving and a whole lot of fun. What's the most unusual song from your album?
Unusual would probably be the song called Breakaway.
Why is it unusual?
This is a strange sounding song. It's in a different time signature, and it's just stranger.
Okay. What do you mean by time signature?
Honestly, I don't know. I don't know much about.
You just made that up.
I know what a time signature, but it's, I don't know.
Well, I don't know. What
I don't know
is.
Much about music. It's in. I think it's in 6/6/8 time. That's what people tell me.
Oh, okay.
But yeah. So that's
no.
Why.
It's okay. In 6/6/6 time. Ooh. Okay. Ready? Let's hear it. I'm just kidding. That is unusual, Tom.
Is it love that keeps us here? Or are we too afraid of finally being alone in my show? These are my fears, or has my father's mistakes taken their place? So from above you feel their eyes watching you. What is love if not the search for truth? Well, it fades and you break. No way. Fall apart, it surely seems. Another man has courage you'll never reveal. Has it all been so unseen? Or is it wisdom, the face you're chipping away now? You feel their eyes watching you. What is love if not the search for truth? Well, it fades and you break and you are falling down in your father's mistakes. No, they're not yours to own. So go stake your claim and love. It's all at your fingertips. It's all at your finger. And I remember when, I remember when I lost my mind. There was something so precious about that day. Even your emotions had an echo, so much space. When you're out there without care, yeah, I was out of touch. But it wasn't because I didn't know enough. I just knew too much. Does that make me crazy? Does that make me crazy? Does that make me crazy? Probably. And I hope that you are having the time of your life. But think twice. And that's my only advice. Come on now, who do you? Who do you, who do you, who do you think you are? Well, how bless your soul. You really think you're in control? Well, I you're crazy. Yeah, I think you're crazy. Yeah, I think you're crazy. Just like me. My heroes had the heart to lose a life out on a limb. And all I remember is thinking I wanna be like them. Ever since I was little, ever since I was little, it looked like fun. And there's no coincidence I've come. And I can die when I'm done. So maybe I'm crazy. Yeah, maybe I'm crazy. Yeah, maybe I'm crazy. Probably.
I can't believe you swore in that song.
Yeah, sorry. This is a family show. Watch
it. It's a family show. Watch it. Can't swear like that.
So Easter's coming this Sunday.
Crazy, eh?
Crazy. We're all crazy for Easter, I guess. How do you celebrate? Do you celebrate that holiday? Or
I'm celebrating Easter by playing a gay bar in Minneapolis.
That's Woo! Hot.
Where are you going to be at?
Rumors and innuendo.
Oh.
Nice.
Is that one bar or is that two bars?
Did I say Indianapolis? I said Minneapolis.
Minneapolis.
Yeah.
Oh, fabulous.
I don't know. I've never been
rumors
there.
Rumors and innuendo?
It says that everything says rumors slash innuendo. So I assume it's like...
That's weird.
That's a very conceptual title for a bar.
I wonder if it was like two bars next to each other that
that's
they put
what
together.
I'm assuming.
Are you going to bring like any like... Or should your fans bring like an Easter basket or an egg for you to sign?
Yeah, sure. That's what they want.
Will you be signing? He'll be having an egg signing.
Or an Easter egg hunt afterwards.
Yes.
I was like, guess where I hid my eggs?
Gay bars are probably pretty busy on an Easter because people are probably sick of hanging out with their families all day. And
do you think so?
Let's go to the gay bar.
Oh, yeah. You know, gay bars are packed during the Christian holidays. Not so popular during the Muslim holidays for some reason.
No.
But anyways. So a British department store, Selfridges, that's the name of the department store, is urging shoppers to stock up on chocolate Easter eggs as an investment. Guess how much they're charging for this thing?
A chocolate Easter egg?
Yes.
£1,000.
That's correct, because you saw my sheet of paper.
I'm just guessing. Honestly, I don't know if I did see it or not.
So they're charging $2,000 US, approximately $2,000 US, because you multiply pounds by two. And the reason why they're charging so much is because every egg comes with a gold coin in it.
Ooh.
And they're saying in these challenging, helter-skelter economic times, investing in gold is a wise investment.
What kind of coin is it? Does it have the Queen of England on it? Or does it have the Easter Bunny on it?
It should have like an Easter egg.
I'm pretty sure you can invest in gold without investing in it. Chocolate as well.
But you can eat the egg and you keep the gold coin.
Why don't you just buy the coin and then go get a Cadbury chocolate egg?
Well, the coin is worth £900 or $1,800.
So
you're paying $200 for a chocolate egg.
See?
That's crazy.
Yeah.
Well, you got to make money somehow.
Well, that's not a sound financial investment.
Well, that's the thing with like gold and silver and stuff like that. It doesn't matter what form it is. They only like you could have an intricately created gold or silver piece, and they'll just pay you what it weighs.
Yeah.
Like the work, they're just like, we don't care about that.
So the price of the coin has to go up 11% for you to even get the same amount of money
even.
As you've invested.
Well, it's a present. You know, it's like an Easter egg. You do enjoy the chocolate.
I'm not getting you a thousand pound egg for Easter.
Well, what kind of $1,000 gift are you going to get?
I'm getting you no $1,000 gift.
Selfridge spokesman added, according to the financial institution Swiss Bank's UBS, demand for gold will double this year as compared to 2007 as investors see the precious metal as a safe haven during this current volatile economic climate.
But you notice it's the demand for gold, not the value of gold, that'll double.
That's oh yeah, money is always, for some weird reason, money's always in demand.
People always like to have it.
It's money, always, I like it. Send some like my way. Feastofun.com. Donate to the show.
Buy a t-shirt. We can't do the show without your
I
help.
I know. And if you're lucky, Tom Goss will show up at your house in person to deliver it.
If you're lucky. Some lucky.
You got to be really somewhere. Lucky.
Well, 9 to 5 is coming true. You know, the movie 9 to 5 is featuring Dolly Parton.
What happens in that movie?
And they kidnap their boss. Why do they hold him ransom?
Why do they do
because
that?
Because they think that they killed him.
No,
they didn't kill him, and then he's blackmailing them.
They smoke a joint and fantasize about killing him.
Yes.
The three of them.
Yes.
And the reason is because he's a lying, sexist, egotistical bigot.
Okay.
According to the movie.
But in France, people are doing a lot of boss napping, and they say that the French public support for workers who have been locking up their bosses, like half the French people say, go ahead and lock up your boss, because people are losing their jobs and saying, you know, your job is redundant. And so the people are challenging their bosses, and they're holding them hostage overnight. It's kind of like their version of a sit-in, except you're basically kidnapping them.
What, are they kidnapping them in their offices?
Yes, they're holding them up in their office, yeah. Huh.
Like, well, it's not technically a kidnap, then.
Yeah. Well, I don't know what it is, but it's
what
certainly
do they
making
do
headlines.
That night? What do they do?
I think they just hold them into the office and don't let them out. And then they're like, that's it.
So he's uncomfortable? He misses dinner?
Well, I think you spending the night in the office and you probably have to shit in your garbage can or something. I don't know.
Oh, my God. I have the best story about this.
What?
So I used to work in an office with a lying, sexist, egotistical bigot of a boss. Mm-hmm. And part of the promotional, we got promotional items because they were re-releasing 9 to 5 on DVD. And so we got a box of Skinny and Sweet, the low-calorie sweetener that they used in the movie that looks like the rat poison box. Mm-hmm. And so one side, it says Skinny Sweet and rat poison. And I swear to God, at least once a week in the time that I worked there, somebody would joke about giving the boss poison. That's how all, like...
And did the boss even know? Because I saw that it used to be prominently on your desk. Did
yes,
he even,
it would
even,
sit. And he just kind of giggle, you know, like, yeah, I know I'm an asshole. It was so weird. It was like... But everybody would be like, oh, I sure want to put some of that Skinny and Sweet in his coffee.
Have you ever poisoned anybody, Tom?
Not on purpose.
Well, sometimes with their cooking.
That's what I mean, yeah.
You know.
Well, are you a good cook? Does your man like your cooking?
Yeah, I'm a good cook.
Because you're a feeder.
Have you seen him?
I have, yes. He's not that big.
He's got quite the belly on him.
You could make him
you
bigger.
You could make him bigger.
I'm trying.
A feeder? What's a feeder? What is a feeder sexual a fetish?
I have no idea.
What is a feeder sexual?
A feeder is somebody who likes to feed other people.
And why do they enjoy... Because they enjoy watching... The other person eat.
I think it's enjoying watching them eat. They like the way they look, and it feels like it's their way of giving love because they don't know how else to give it.
But I get.
I'm just kidding.
I get physical pleasure like seeing attractive men eat, and like whenever.
Well, I think you get physical pleasure from watching attractive men do just about anything. That's why they're attractive.
Not necessarily. Like I don't enjoy watching them vomit, for example.
A little bit.
No. Not even at all. Well, maybe a supermodel. Maybe like Ronnie Kroll if he was vomiting.
You still think I'm hot? Maybe.
I'm really hot.
Talk about gross, though. In Oregon, I didn't know this. Did you know like the gangbangers?
In
Oregon, and I think maybe in other parts of the country too, that one of the things they do to get initiated into gangs is like they'll throw like their bodily fluids at somebody else,
but
like randomly,
you mean,
like their jizz and stuff like that.
That doesn't make any sense to me.
I know. I feel like it's an April Fool's Day joke, but it's a real.
Was
news
it released
article.
On April Fool's? No. I have to say,
how
though,
is that not the gayest thing ever?
Well, they proposed a new law. Like I guess they don't talk. They didn't really talk about it. They just said this is what we propose. And then the House of Oregon passed it, and it says that substances. Hold on, let me tell you. They would make it a second degree sex abuse case to propel quote. A dangerous substance at another person, and that substance being semen or other bodily fluid flung out at sexual desire. Because I guess what they're doing is like they're going to shopping malls and like throwing their jizz on people's like moms and stuff like that. I don't know.
Wait, no. So do they save their semen in a cup?
I don't know exactly how they do it.
Do they? Oh, they load it up in a squirt gun, maybe.
Maybe I don't know. They have no. I don't know. But
how do they even know that it is semen?
Well, because they tasted it, obviously.
They went, what's this fluid that's being thrown at me by a gangbanger? It's gangbanger cum. You know, there's people out in this country that would want that to happen to them.
They would want it flowing. Yeah. Well, it's bukkake.
It's bukkake. I don't know. I just want to join this gang that's spending all their time masturbating.
I do not want semen thrown at me.
You don't want any?
No.
Well, you better duck then.
I know.
But it's like, imagine these gangs standing around be like, what can we do today? Let's all masturbate into a cup and then throw it on somebody.
It has to be a very, very young gang, I'm imagining. You know what I mean? Because like, so you get to a certain age, that's not something you'd probably get into, right? Like some, maybe
that's the kind
like
of gang I want to join.
I was never into collecting my semen and throwing it at people. So,
well, these are also people that probably like sell drugs and rob people. And you
I was into that.
So that's, you know, this throwing a semen on somebody is like nothing. I don't. It just seems really just weird.
Speaking of gangs and such, I've the past couple of nights been playing this song because I was in Cleveland and. So can you guys guess, the first album I ever bought was a Cleveland group. Can you guess what it was?
It was Boston.
No.
Chicago. Kansas. Asia.
No, it was Bone Thugs and Harmony.
Okay.
So I've been playing this Bone Thugs and Harmony song. It was very funny. I used to love Bone Thugs.
I ran out of Lauderdale.
Bands named after places.
Yes, exactly.
Our salute to bands. And thus ends our salute to bands named after places.
Well, is there any more than those three?
I can't.
Dallas? USA for Africa?
No, Dallas is a show, right?
Dallas was a show, yeah.
Yeah. How about the Bay City Rollers?
Bay City Rollers.
But that's technically, you're adding Rollers.
That's Green Bay.
I want to start a band called Austin.
Austin.
And people think, it's Boston. I'm like, no, it's Austin.
Austin with an A.
With
autism?
An A.
Autism?
Autism. What's so I want to talk about this news item because it made me laugh so hard when I saw it. So this one woman, she's a vegan. And
oh,
she
yeah.
loves tofu so much.
Love that tofu.
So she went to the place where you get vanity license plates.
The DMV.
You're a little screwy if you're spending the money to get a license. Most people's license plates are like XYZ123 or something.
Yeah,
like that.
Ours says cry.
Yes, but don't say the other parts of the license plates.
CRY.
The first three letters of our license plate is cry. It's true. And so she got a vanity plate that says ILVTOFU, which is supposed to say I love tofu. But then and she had it on her car for a while. But then somebody, I guess, like said, oh, how offensive. I love to fuck you. And so they asked her to
she got
she had to get rid of her plates.
I love tofu.
Oh, yeah.
I love tofu. I love to fuck you.
That's funny.
Isn't that wonderful?
Yeah.
What I saw one in Chicago here. It's I've seen it a couple times, so they must be in the neighborhood. It's a Mexican one, and it says chingon, which is like,
what does that mean?
It's something
to fuck.
It's like you're a big fucker or something like that. You call somebody that, like you say, I chingon, or you're a chingon. So chinga is to fuck, and chingon is like a big fucker.
Yeah.
So
there's other odd license plates. Like somebody took, I guess, the Montana license plate. Thing and they put the M for Montana and then italic was the license plate and then A Metallica, so they got Metallica on a license plate. And then there's after you is a stupid idiot as a
it
license
doesn't work
plate.
Unless it doesn't really work unless you see them because that
car sick.
When you talk about it you're just like okay so okay. This is car sick.
So this one is MS poo pull out.
MS poo, what's that?
I don't know, that's just the letters MSPOO.
Miss poo. Poo?
Miss poo.
Miss poo.
Like, ooh, she's into scat.
I guess so. And
scat.
So there's a website that's dedicated to odd vanity license plates. And there's one car owned by a chick that says was his.
Oh.
Snap girlfriend. Snap.
She took it from him. And there's so last year we reported on, there was this guy who was like 29 years old and he was living with these two older guys. And these guys were pretending to be his like father or uncle. And they enrolled him in school. And what he did is he like shaved so he'd look young. Because I guess the idea was he was going to go to the school and lure kids back home. And they were all going to like molest him or something like that. And we talked about it a couple of times because it was such a bizarre case. Because it was like a 29-year-old passing himself off as a 12-year-old.
Wasn't it a Law and Order episode?
I think they did. Yeah,
they did something on Law and Order.
Everything's a Law and Order episode.
Yeah,
they still haven't done JoJo discovering a boiling head in the guys who sold mannequin mm-hmm. body parts.
Right.
So I'm still waiting for that Law and Order episode.
That's got to happen. That will happen.
So they convicted this guy.
He got sentenced to 70 some years in prison, and the judge
70?
70, yes. Yeah. And they were also saying that the judge is like, I wish it could be more. You should be in jail longer. But I mean, he'll
never
get out.
What did he do? What did he do besides enroll in school?
They got him on a lot of kiddie porn charges and stuff like that. They didn't actually find any students at the school that he may have molested.
Is it illegal to enroll in school and pretend you're 12 years old?
I think so, yeah.
I mean, it's creepy.
Yeah, it's totally creepy. Well, the idea was because he was trying to like lure boys home.
I get it,
So, but they did catch him and the guys he was living with having a whole bunch of kiddie porn.
Yeah.
And so I think that they probably met these guys. And he lived with these guys for like a year or something like that. It was kind of a weird situation.
Well, it shows also a profound mental illness if the person was enrolling in school because they had a bad childhood and they wanted to relive their childhood. Well, wasn't that a movie?
Could you imagine if he then got held back?
I'm really the age.
The school got kind of suspicious because the birth certificate looked like it had been altered and it looked kind of fake, and so they thought, well, maybe they were dealing with like a child kidnapping, and that that these older people had stolen this kid from somewhere, and then they started looking at the kid and they were like, he doesn't really look 12, does he?
He doesn't look 12 at all.
Well, it's also too, but I think also he would probably like shave before school.
He was shaving with electric razor during class.
And wearing clothes. Yeah.
You ever go back to your elementary school and you see how small the urinals are?
Oh, yeah.
And you don't ever remember that. So you think he had to like squat down to use the really small urinals?
Well, I think he was probably a short person too, is my guess.
Oh, okay.
You know, so
I could pass for a 12.
I could pass for a 12-year-old height-wise.
Could you actually, have you ever been confused for being like significantly younger than you are? Because you're a very young looking person.
Yeah. No, but the thing is, I'm just so mature, Fausto. Yeah.
You say with a little voice.
I get carded all the time. You're like, really? I thought you were 18.
Because I posted on Facebook that my birthday is April 16th, just around the corner. Hint, hint, listeners. and I said, guess how old I'm going to be? And everybody was like saying that my age was like 10 years younger than I really am.
Oh, isn't that sweet?
Isn't that nice of them?
What are you going to be, 26?
Your maturity level really comes across the microphone.
I do. I am a very wise beyond my years.
Yes.
I had one guy said to me, it's like, you have a very old soul. And I was almost, I didn't know whether to take that as a compliment or as an insult.
It's an antique.
Yeah, I'm like, what are you saying? I'm like grandpa or something? Or I'm Egyptian?
Yeah.
It's like, what does it mean to have an old soul? But you get accused of that too, I'm sure.
All the time.
You're like, you are very soulful.
Yeah, all the time.
What does that mean to you?
I don't know. I just say thank you. People say a lot of things to me, and I mostly just say thank
you. You're like, I don't know what you mean.
Yeah, I don't read into that kind of stuff.
If I give you like a weird compliment, you just go, oh, thanks.
Sometimes I say, I don't know what that means. I say that a lot because I'm like, I don't know what that's supposed to mean.
Your music is very tasty. Tasty.
Tasty.
Just go away.
You're like, thanks. So Mark Anthony Wilson is asking, when are you going to go to England? He's British, I guess.
I don't know.
Yeah, Mark lives in England.
Yeah.
He's British. I'll say you in the British accent.
When is he going to bring me over to England?
You're like Eartha Kitt. If you want me, bring me to your country.
There you go.
You could fly. You would be hot in England.
I'd love to do England.
But you have to practice your British accent because they love it when Americans impersonate them.
Oh, really? I don't think I could do
the
British accent.
They love Madonna for it.
I've been listening to the Beatles nonstop, so... You could do it.
You could just be like, I would like to play some songs I wrote. Here's one. It's been a hard day's night. Nice. And they're like, boo, get out of here. Patrick Stevenson, last but not least, he wants you to summarize your life's philosophy in one word.
Ooh.
No, one sentence, actually. So what, what a bullshit question.
Yeah, like, you want to hear it? Don't ask questions that seem meaningful but are really meaningless.
I think they just like hearing you say and do things.
No, I mean, I don't think I. You know, I always read that they have like a Metro Weekly in DC has like the cover boy, and they always have like the one sentence. You know what I'm talking about? And
oh,
like,
yeah,
I know that.
All the questions are like, "Where's your lube?" This and this and this. And
where's your lube?
People fight to be this cover boy thing, but the last question is like, "Explain your life philosophy in a sentence," and I'm like. Who knows that? Like, you really have to sit down and think, like, This is my life philosophy. I don't know. Be good to people.
Yeah, it might be a very long sentence.
Yeah, it would be a really long sentence. It would be a really long sentence.
Mark, what would you summarize your life's philosophy as?
Live long and prosper.
Oh, that's really good.
That's original.
Yeah, we found out that somebody in, I guess to promote the new Star Trek movie, the Paramount Pictures rented a movie theater in Austin, Texas, and they had a screening of Wrath of Khan.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, Mark...
So all the nerds came to it, and then they acted like the film had burned or something like that.
Yeah.
And so people are like, oh, whatever. And then Leonard Nimoy comes out, and he's like, sorry about the film. Do you guys want to see the new film? And
I was like, I so wanted to see that.
I know, because we're going to be in Austin next week, and we should have gone this week. And
We almost made plans to come this week, right. But then we would have hung out with you.
Yeah, I know, that's sad. That would have been sad. Yeah.
That would have made me sad. So, Juan, thank you so much for coming on the show.
No problem. Thanks for having me.
It's always
a pleasure.
Quickly, where are you going to be?
Everywhere.
Go to your website, right?
I'll be in Chicago tonight.
I will be in Milwaukee tomorrow night. I will be in Minneapolis. I've got like 50 dates in the next 2 months.
But you're traveling around the Midwest, so chances are if you live in the heart of America.
Yep. If you live in the West Coast, you live in the South, you live in the Southwest, I'll be everywhere. I'll be all those places.
Will you be going to Tulsa?
Planning on it. Don't have that locked down yet.
You know who lives there?
Eric Hyman.
That's right.
That's right.
Ooh. And then you're going to do a West Coast tour after that?
I'll be on the West Coast as well, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. So we got some funny listener comments. There's the show we did with Keith Ecker, How to Marry a Millionaire. Because I guess right now the domino effect is happening with gay marriage across the country. At least we'd like to think so.
Mm-hmm.
But a lot of people are very anxious about it because, one, they think they might be taken away from them like it was in California. Yeah. But two, it raises the specter of all these long-term relationships actually being categorized as marriages.
Yeah.
So, you know, and makes gay and lesbian people who are not used to that very anxious. So we brought up talking about Kenny Rogers Roasters. Do you remember that chain?
No.
So it was like the most delicious chicken, rotisserie chicken chain, and it was owned by Kenny Rogers, the musician.
Really?
And has his face on it like, you know, Colonel Sanders does. And we said they went out of business in the United States, but if you go to Singapore, according to Miata, there's chains over there.
Huh. So if you want Kenny Rogers roasted chicken...
Go to Singapore. And then Faramie said, Michelangelo did sculpt Moses with horns.
Mm-hmm.
Every now and then, a new theory comes out about why that sculpture had horns. Michelangelo was supposedly gay. Could it be his misplaced marble dildo?
Mm.
I think so. Dr. Brian Mustansky, talking about microaggressions and micro consequences, said, Nico Cadman said, this is a really great show. I can really relate as a lot of those little micro insults, those little things that chip away at your self-esteem can really cause one of my relationships to end.
Ooh.
So I guess because he and his boyfriend were like, you know,
that constant nagging day after day.
But what keeps a relationship together if not nagging?
Common interests. I think the secret to a long-term relationship, would you agree with me since you're in the relationship with me, Mark?
Mm-hmm.
is having a common interest.
That's the key.
You know, Mark and I...
We share a lot of things in common.
We're like, oh my God, Star Trek.
As different as we are, we still share a lot of things.
Yeah, we're like Bert and Ernie, but we both collect paper clips.
You know, I don't collect anything.
I don't collect anything either.
Mike collects happy pigs.
Does he really?
We belong to the Happy Pig Collectors Club.
Is that an official club?
It is. I found them online. I think they used to be based in Chicago. And they send out newsletters. It's the most fun thing ever.
Yeah, if there's an animal, there's a group of people that collect them and stuff like that.
I like the Little Britain skit where the chick...
The old lady, yeah.
Who collected frogs.
She collected frogs, and then her friends bought her a frog, and she flipped the fuck out and killed it.
Really?
Yeah, because she likes frogs, but she doesn't like real frogs.
Really?
Yeah, that's one of my favorite Little Britain skits.
It really is just marvelous.
There's an annual convention every year, which I think we're going to go to this year.
Really?
And it's kind of creepy. They describe like all the things, like bring your cute pigs, do this with cute pigs, and for lunch, and everything's pork. And I can't quite figure it out. Like, do you like the pigs, or do you like killing the pigs?
They like to eat the pigs, but they like to look at the happy pig faces.
I guess.
My friend Solitaire used to have lots of little pigs.
And she used to eat pork while she used to pet her pig.
Yeah.
I'm like, you know, I don't think that's necessarily a thing. Maybe they just like to eat bacon so much, they like pigs.
Where is this at?
This year, it's going to be in Wisconsin somewhere.
Really?
Like Beloit somewhere, yeah. Yeah, you guys want to go?
I'll go with
so
you.
We'll go with you.
It's
we'll go Happy Pig Collectors Club, Erie, Barcelona.
Okay.
Nice.
To Barcelona and beyond. Alfonso had some thoughts about Madonna's bids to adopt a 4-year-old Malawi girl.
Mm-hmm.
He said, if you can't understand why the country of Malawi wouldn't let her adopt this time, watch the film Mommy Dearest.
Oh, come on.
Also, it probably has something to do with the government trying to keep these children from being adopted by people who tend to use them as slaves.
Do people really? Well, you know, I think from other African countries and stuff like that, they'll do that. They'll go in and adopt kids and then take them to whatever country, like to their bordering country, and then put them in slaves. But I hardly doubt that Madonna's really going to enslave that child.
You don't know what she's doing with those other kids. You know, they might be like signing the autographs to her fan club.
That's
love
true.
Madge.
Why would you go through? See, this is what I wonder. Why would you go through the process of adopting a kid if you're just gonna sell him off as a slave? You might as well just kidnap a kid.
Well, I guess it's probably easier to get.
Yeah, but then you got all the red tape, and then you've got your name all over everything.
I don't know.
True. And if that kid comes up dead, they'll come looking
exactly.
for you.
Mm-hmm. If I was going to do that, I would just steal a kid.
Well, maybe it's the easiest way to do it.
If
you
were going to do that, as he says with a mischievous smile. Dun, dun, dun. The dark side of Tom Goss comes out. But I thought, you know, I'm 110% behind the country allowing Madonna to adopt. And it's obvious that this is a special, unique case that doesn't set a precedence. You know, I'm sure if Britney Spears wants to adopt a kid, would Malawi let her?
No.
So there you go.
Unless she lives there.
But what I mean, why can they say yes to Madonna?
Well,
has
Madonna demonstrated to be a good mother?
She's not only demonstrated to be a good mother, I also would argue that she's demonstrated to be a good citizen to that country by helping to fund and set up foundations that helps millions of children.
Well, that's the question. I think Britney Spears has demonstrated to not be a good mother for the most part.
And
so,
and I think it's sort of unfair, you know, the part of the problem is that Madonna's, you know, part of her success and leverage is that she's a very wealthy, successful, well-known entertainer. And that brings a lot of media scrutiny and a lot of political scrutiny. And so I don't know if you guys got to see the pictures of her going to the trials and standing around. And it was a media circus in Malawi.
We're talking about Britney or
Madonna.
Madonna.
Yeah, when she was trying to adopt this little girl. And I'm like, if I was that little girl, I'd be like,
with a little
meet
girl,
me at the airport.
With a little girl.
She's 4 years old.
But the other one she adopted had parents.
A father. I think the mother was passed on.
They had died, but I think the father was living with HIV.
I'm not sure,
but I think it was a
situation. But he was kind of like, it was weird.
He couldn't decide whether he wanted a kid.
It was a weird situation.
And then he's kind of happy that did they actually meet? Because I thought there was plans that they would meet this last trip. I don't know either.
Yeah, but I would say if I was that little girl, I would sue the government of Malawi. I would. I'd be like, you kept me from a life of fabulousness.
Of caviar and
champagne.
French lessons, dance lessons, private tutors.
Oh my god, I would be like cursing the government every
flying
day.
Flying around on jets.
You know, because she's 4 years old, so she'll remember this for the rest of her life. You know? And if she doesn't get to live with Madonna, she'll
be pissed. I don't
remember
anything from when I was four.
I remember 4 years. I remember my four-year-old
You'd
birthday
remember
party.
Meeting Madonna.
Yeah, people be like, don't you remember? She tried to be your mother, but the government wouldn't let them, and now you're starving and poor.
I went to the Bozo show when I was like 10, and I barely remember that.
Did you puke in one of those cups
no.
that you had to throw the ping pong ball in?
I was so disappointed that I didn't get to play, though.
I was so, you know, as kids, we used to practice with ping pong balls
in
garbage
too.
Cans.
I did too, in the basement, yeah. God,
how far could you get?
Well, it's always hard once you get to like 5.
Yeah.
You know, you can get to 1, 2, 3 pretty easily. 4, and then 5 gets hard. And
why,
6
does
is really
the cups
hard.
Get smaller or something?
It was.
Have you never seen the Bozo show?
So the Bozo show, they had this big, the grand prize game, and what they would do is they would pick a kid from the audience, and there was 10 garbage cans.
No, there's 6. There's only 6.
Oh, it was only 6. Okay, so it was 6 garbage cans, and they had to throw a ping pong ball into the garbage can. And throwing a ping pong ball at close range is easy, But when it's far away, it tends to bounce really well.
Yeah, so you got it. Yeah, so there's six. They're probably about this big. And yeah, you
so they're about the size of a garbage can.
Of a small one.
A small garbage can.
Yeah, like a waste paper basket for your office.
Yeah, maybe.
And so the thing was, if you threw it in the first one, you would get like a Tootsie Roll filled with Tootsie Rolls.
Yeah.
It was like a Tootsie Roll shaped container.
Yeah.
And then the second one was, you know, whatever product they could
get. The last one was a bike, though.
Yes, and $100.
Yeah.
And how often did the kid get the bike?
Almost
never happened. Yeah. And I remember one day it happened, and me and my friend Miguel, we called each other on the phone. We're like, did you see the Bozo show today? We were like, yes, the kid won. I couldn't believe it. I was like,
I want to say, because I grew up in Erie, and I want to say that Bozo was on, but it was syndicated, and it was on like at 6:30 in the morning, some kind of crazy time like that. So like, ain't no chance in hell. But I'm waking up in the morning.
It's a very Chicago thing.
Yeah, of course. Yeah. Yeah,
but see, in Puerto Rico, we got it because WGN was a super station and syndicated in Chicago. So we would get all the Chicago programming.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So I grew up watching, you know, National. Carpeting called National 29,000. National 29,000. I don't know if they're in the business anymore. I'm watching the Empire Carpet, creepy Empire carpet guy going to people's houses.
He's now animated, which is weird.
Because he's dead soon.
No, he's not dead. He's not dead. I heard he is sick, though.
They're going to take his brain and put it in a jar and have him do the commercials for eternity. Mm-hmm. And they're not going to pay him after that. That's his curse.
I love those commercials.
588-2300 Empire. Can you do like a song based on that?
Yeah, maybe I will.
We actually had the guy come out here to look at see the curtains that we have here to put them in the blinds, and I forget what
he was really hot.
He was the
really
Empire hot. Guy.
Yeah, well, not the old guy. this was like a 20-something guy.
We're like, you're not him, and he's just like, no, he doesn't do house calls anymore. But it was like, I don't know what it was.
Did he used to sell carpeting?
I don't know. No, I think he's always just an actor. But it was like, I don't know, it was like $3,000, and we're like, let's just go to Home Depot, and we did it for 1, 2, 3. What is it? Five.
It was like
40,
$300. Yeah, it was $200.
Yeah,
like, and that's what the Empire Carpet guy said to us. Like, look, if you just go to Home Depot, you'll get much cheaper on your own. So he was like the worst salesman ever.
But he was nice.
He was really. I put my hand on his thigh.
You did?
Yeah. And he smiled.
You just don't ever stop, do you?
Stop what?
That.
That what?
Stuff.
I'm a people person,
Tom,
Mark.
What are you going to leave us with today?
I'm a people person. I need to touch. I'm like Judy Garland. I need to touch people.
You need to touch people.
I need to reach out and touch them.
Well, I want to remind people, too, we can't do the show without your support. So please visit feastoffun.com, make a donation, buy a t-shirt.
And if you want to subscribe to these podcasts, go to the URL, special URL, tinyurl.com/feastoffun. It'll take you to the iTunes music store. And you can subscribe and never miss a delicious show like the one here with Tom Goss.
Exactly.
So what are you going to leave us with Till the End?
Till the End, which is the first single off the new CD in the video that we talked about.
And then we're going to go into Mark's bedroom and recreate the video.
Yes, exactly.
We'll be the lesbian couple.
Actually, should we do that?
That'd
be
funny.
We'll just sit on the bed, Tom, and be like, ding, ding, ding.
Who's going to film it, though? Well, I know that's the problem. Well, we could put it on a tripod and be like, listen, honey, I got to go to bed.
I hope my room's clean.
Probably not. I got to go to bed, honey. It's like, you got to stop playing.
Would you get him? Come on.
Get him out of here.
Come on out of here. Let's have a good bed. Thank you, Tom.
Love you, sweetie.
Thank you for having me.
Happy Easter, everybody.
Taking it easy, just like a Sunday afternoon. You're driving me crazy, like you always seem to do. So I call you lazy, and you snooze a day away. Sinking swiftly through those dreams of bittersweet. And take your fears and you can lay them at my feet. 'Cause I swear that I'm here till the end. And I know what love is. even if it's not the same as what your God said. You see, he truly is to blame for what is nonsense, 'cause God is love and love is good. Sinking swiftly through those dreams of bittersweet, and take your fears and you can lay them at my feet, 'cause I swear that I'm here. Whoa. Smiling like you do, your eyes aglow now. You see my face look back at you. It's what we know now. It's for what we've always yearned. And sinking swiftly through those dreams of bittersweet, and take your fears and you can lay them at my feet, 'cause I swear that I'm here till the end, till the end, till the end.